Episode 3. Is digital media bias killing your career? Are you a creative or entrepreneur who's sick of all the red tape, sick of gatekeepers and powerful digital media platforms that cater to celebrities and people with deep pockets? I mean, you got talent, you got skills, but you can't seem to break through. It's time to destroy.
Destroy.
The podcast helping entrepreneurs and creators conquer the barriers between them and the people. What's up, everyone? I'm your host, Christopher Grant Sr. Thank you so much for listening to Destroy. Now, I know there are a million things you could be doing right now, but you took time out of your busy day to listen to me. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Uneven Playing Field series. If you like what you hear, follow me at C Grant Sr. on Instagram or Twitter. That's at CGRANTSR.
Destroy Digital Media Platforms, the new book by Christopher Grant Sr., an insightful, eye-opening quick read that tells you why your content everywhere gets you nowhere and how to rise above the digital media clutter. Visit destroybook.com.
What is meant by an uneven playing field? I'm simply implying that the playing field or industry in which creatives play on or function in is not equal or fair to all participants. The digital media-based tools available to underrepresented creatives fail them as they seek to reach the masses. Yet they present this facade of success and accomplishment that leads to nothing but failure and lost dreams. It's time for a reality check, people. It's time to destroy.
Destroy.
Now, this podcast is not one of scholarly or analytical absolutes. I'm simply sharing my opinions and observations as the CEO of Seven Horns, a founder and a business owner with 15 plus years of experience in the entertainment industry. My hope is to challenge some of the things you thought, as well as motivate creatives, entrepreneurs, or the underrepresented independent thinker. First, a few ground rules. When I say creatives, I'm referring to entrepreneurs as well. I believe they're cut from the same cloth. An entrepreneur, a creative, they're pretty much the same people. Let me give a brief definition of both. An entrepreneur is an individual who creates a new business, bearing most of the risk and enjoying most of the rewards. A creative or creativity is relating to or involving the imagination or original ideas, especially in the production of an artistic work. So like I said, there's not much difference between an entrepreneur and a creative. They both are challenged with and have a desire to create. Although I primarily target entrepreneurs and creatives and talk a lot about entertainment and the entertainment industry, this podcast is for everyone because I truly believe that everyone is a creative at heart. Now, I'll use the music industry and its creatives in many of my examples, but the points I make can be applied to most industries and creatives across the board. Let's chop it up. We find ourselves in one of the most politically charged times in our nation's history. A time where we, the people, are choosing to side with Democrats or Republicans. Now, in order to make a choice, we need information. Historically, we've gotten that information from television or from newspapers. These days, we're getting that information from social media. Now, I'm not sure if you all have heard this, but recently, Twitter prevented people from posting links to a New York Post story. They warned people that if you click the link, that the information that the link led to was, I quote, potentially unsafe. The New York Post article contained screenshots of emails allegedly sent and received by Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. Now, before I go on, let me be clear. This is not a political discussion. I could care less whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian. It doesn't matter to me. But what does matter to me is media bias. Is it a real thing? Twitter explained that it had limited the sharing because the story contained what they considered hacked materials. Facebook also took action, limiting the report on its news feed. They said that this was part of what they called their standard process, a process that would give third-party fact-checkers time to review the content and decide if it should be treated as misinformation. Think about that, people. A supposedly open-to-all digital media platform that is there to transmit and disseminate information from user to user, deciding that some of the communication is potentially unsafe. Look, I get it. I understand a platform's responsibility to keep its users from potentially unsafe material. My question is, what is considered unsafe? Is it lying? People lie all the time on social media. If someone posts, "Hey, Chris, I saw you the other day and your hair looked horrible." Well, that's a lie because I don't have any hair. But I don't see Twitter or Facebook removing that post. Maybe it's because I'm insignificant or unimportant. But wait a minute, it was harmful to me. I mean, aren't you trying to keep me from harm? But maybe I don't matter because I'm not as big as some people. Well, then you have a bias there. So is it things that are only harmful to a certain status of people? Because what may be harmful to you may not be harmful to me. What may be harmful to me might not be harmful to you. It just has to be clear. If they can do this to the New York Post, just think what they can do to little old me. They can censor my content as well. Some of you may think, well, I'm not a politician. Why would they even care? I don't think that matters. What matters is that you are delivering content on these platforms, and the ones who run these platforms have the right, or seemingly have the right, to call your content potentially unsafe. It may not seem like a big deal to you now, but what happens when they deem your new song harmful and unsafe? Or your new book, your new short film, or your new business idea? Many of you may or may not know that on May 28th of 2020, the president issued an executive order preventing online censorship. Section 1 of the order states, I quote, "In a country that has long cherished the freedom of expression, we cannot allow a limited number of online platforms to handpick the speech that Americans may access and convey on the internet. This practice is fundamentally un-American and anti-democratic. When large, powerful social media companies censor opinions with which they disagree, they exercise a dangerous power. They cease functioning as passive bulletin boards and ought to be viewed and treated as content creators." End quote. These platforms are simply censoring material. According to Wikipedia, Censorship is the suppression of speech, public communication, or other information on the basis that such material is considered objectionable, harmful, sensitive, or inconvenient, which means not suiting one's needs or purposes. Censorship can be conducted by governments, private institutions, and other controlling bodies. See, what this all boils down to is a question. What exactly are these digital media platforms? Are they a platform or are they a publisher? Because there is a huge difference. A platform refers to a tech company that allows transmission and dissemination of information. A good example that I came across on the internet is that of a phone company. When talking on the phone to a friend, you can communicate just about anything, everything, anything. You can talk about sex, you can talk about religion, you can talk about politics, you can use foul language. There's no one there to buzz out what you're saying or to censor what you're saying. You can talk freely about anything you want. A platform is not responsible legally for the content that it allows you to share. They're not responsible for it. So you can say whatever you want over the phone. That's what a platform is there to do. Just transmit and disseminate for you. On the other hand, a publisher is more specific and refers to a company or person that acts as a custodian of content. An example would be a newspaper. You can't just upload content and have it appear in the New York Post or your local newspaper. Someone has to review it. Someone has to vet it. The editors need to make sure that it fits the paper's editorial standards, as well as communicates a message that aligns with the paper's worldview. And everyone has a worldview. And publishers have the power to cater the content that they release to their worldview. A publisher can do that. Whereas a platform's job is just to transmit and disseminate information. Recent hearings brought together the world's biggest tech companies. I'm talking about Google, Apple, Amazon, Facebook. They all came together on Capitol Hill to answer that question. Are you a platform or are you a publisher? Are any of you familiar with the Communications Decency Act of 1996? In Section 230 of that document, it states, and I quote, "No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider," end quote. This provision keeps services from being deemed publisher or speaker of any content shared by its users. Section 230 grants media platforms the benefit of receiving millions of tweets, posts, songs, videos, whatever, without them ever having to worry about what is being communicated. They never have to worry about being convicted when objectionable content slips through the cracks and ends up on their platform. They have nothing to worry about. So these companies are not treated like the publisher or speaker of the information they provide. Yet, like a publisher, they have editorial discretion. which allows them, in good faith, to cancel a user's account. They can tag a user's content as harmful or unsafe, as well as restrain and delete content they declare unacceptable. So just like a publisher, they have editorial discretion. Yet they present themselves as a platform or passive bulletin board that invites everyone to share anything. You know what's crazy? These companies will talk about net neutrality. It's the principle that internet service providers must treat all internet communications equally and not discriminate or charge differently based on the user or their content or the type of website or platform they may be on. Everything should be fair and equal. They talk big about how important it is to protect freedom of speech and diversity of thought when it comes to net neutrality. But then it all changes. They take a totally different attitude when it comes to censoring or the banning of content that they deem unacceptable. Everyone should have the right to communicate their opinions and share their content on a so-called open-to-all digital media platform, as long as the material does not violate any of the clearly stated terms of use. And whatever these clearly stated terms of use are, they need to be applied fairly to all users, regardless of race, gender, or political leaning. These biases, they're not only applied politically, but they're also applied artistically. When content is devalued by gatekeepers based on someone's personal evaluation, it's no different from a phone operator deciding not to connect your call because they don't like the tone of your voice. They don't like the tone of your music. They don't like the tone of your new book. Or maybe they decide that they don't want to connect your conversation because they don't like what it's about. Just like they don't like what your book is about. They don't like what your new business idea is about. These are biases. These biases can have an even greater impact on the underrepresented, because you may not have the means to deliver your content beyond these platforms, or the legal know-how or power to refute the censorship. Bias can be expressed in many different ways on these platforms. It's not always as obvious as not being able to share someone's link or a disclaimer being placed on someone's post. Sometimes it's the platform deciding to devalue your content because you don't have a lot of followers or you're not famous. The platform deciding that your content doesn't align with their worldview. Therefore, you don't get much shine. Whereas someone who has more reach, who has more money, who has more followers, it's shared all over the place. But you, because you're not a certain group of people, you don't have a certain status, they're not going to give you that shine. Well, to me, on an open-to-all digital media platform, everyone should be afforded equal positioning that will allow them to reach the masses on the platform. And I'm going to talk a lot about that. Media bias impacts us all. Whether you're a casual user on these platforms or a creative who's trying to launch your brand, these companies. These digital media platforms, they can't just take advantage of loopholes that allow them to go back and forth from platform to publisher. When it's convenient, they call themselves a publisher. When it's convenient, they call themselves a platform. It impacts everything. It has to change.
Destroy Digital Media Platforms, the new book by Christopher Grant Sr., an insightful, eye-opening quick read that tells you why your content everywhere gets you nowhere and how to rise above the digital media clutter. Visit destroybook.com.
Destroy.
The podcast helping entrepreneurs and creators conquer the barriers between them and the people.